We're continuing with the question where Avram and Sarah, this happy-go-lucky, perfect couple. Sarah comes out of her abduction. They get a lot of gifts. And they leave. And her brother Lot is also very wealthy, but there are fights between Avram and Lot's shepherds. Avram tells Lot, look, we can't go on like this. And choose which way you go, and Lot leaves. Interesting. We don't find Avram consulting with Sarah before he breaks up with her brother. We don't find Sarah coming and challenging Avram over the breakup. So Lot leaves. And then God speaks to Avram about his future inheriting the land of Israel. We have the famine. They go down to Avimelech. I'm skipping a few stories. We'll get back to them. And this time, Avram doesn't ask Sarah, because he knows if he'll ask her, she'll say no. So Avram takes the initiative and says, that's my sister. And Sarah stands there, oh, he's doing it again? And she's abducted a second time. And this time, he twisted her hand into it. And again, same story. Difficult situation. What couple can you imagine can withstand that? Honey, I knew the first time you didn't know it would end up that way, but you did it again? You know, I understand you can forget. I like the liquid detergent instead of the powder detergent. I can't understand you forgot that I got abducted last time. It was almost great, you know. And they continue together. She comes out. They continue together. Pretty amazing. Let's go back. Sarah sees she can't have kids. She tells Avram, I have a maid. Go marry my maid, and through that, at least I'll have some kids in the house. Avram marries the maid, she becomes pregnant, she starts making fun of Sarah. Sarah gives her the evil eye, and she miscarries. And then she becomes pregnant the second time, and she starts treating Sarah lightly. And Sarah turns to Avram and says, boy, am I upset at you. All my anger is all at you. This isn't fair. I gave you my maid. And she saw she became pregnant. And now she treats me like nothing. What's she saying? You see, Sarah's not as pious as all you guys think. She's telling everyone. Obviously, if she were so pious, she'd get pregnant. Look at me. I was married with him one night. I got pregnant. No problem with him. Obviously, God doesn't like her. So here she is speaking badly about me to everyone. And you're being quiet. Why aren't you backing my honor? And Avram tells her, she's your maid. Do what you want. Sarah starts treating her roughly, giving her a hard task to do, and Hagar breaks and runs out to the desert, and we know the rest of the story. Let's fast forward. God tells Avram they're going to have a child. And then God tells Avram, in the presence of Sarah, they're going to have a child. And before God does that, God sends angels. What's the angel's job? They're going to tell them that he's going to have Yitzchak? No, that can't be their job because God said it already, right? In the previous parasha, in the end of Lech Lecha, God tells him, you're going to have a child. And Avram falls over and laughs. And he's told he will name the child Yitzchak. Then the three angels show up. What'd they come for? To tell him he's going to have a child, but God told him in last week's parasha. What'd the three angels come for? So the three angels come, and Avram takes them in, and the angel asks him, Ayei Sarah Ishtecha? Where is Sarah, your wife? And he says, oh, she's in the tent. What's the angel telling him? gee, what a wife you have. She is really something special. Wherever we go, we see women outside sitting for the meal with the guys. You know, where's your wife? And he says, no, my wife's in the tent. Now she's listening very keenly. She wants to hear every word. But the angel is coming to help Avram realize how unique his wife is. That's what the Talmud says. What does that tell us? We look at these giants, and you see, even Avram needs to be aroused about his wife. He's known her for decades. He's known her for the better part of a century. They've had their bronze, silver, gold, platinum, every engagement you have, more than you have. And the angel has to come and remind him how special she is. No, he doesn't have to remind him. He has to arouse him to that fact again. And that teaches us something about every one of us. You can have the best wife in the world. You can have Sarah, Imenu. Sarah could be your wife, and you'll still need little reminders how special she is. And the angel is sent, and one of his jobs is to remind Avram how special Sarah is. So, Sarah hears it and laughs. And God tells Avram, why'd she laugh? Wait a second, why didn't God say that about Avram's laugh? Avram laughed too, right? Just go a few psukim, rewind. The verse says, Avram fell over laughing. What's this similar to? A mother-in-law is sitting at the Shabbos table. And her daughter-in-law sticks her hand into the salad and pulls out a pickle. She looks to the right. She looks to the left. No one saw. She goes for another pickle. The mother-in-law saw. But what can she do? A minute later, the daughter looks to the right, looks to the left, and she takes a pickle from the salad. So what does the mother-in-law do? She turns to her daughter and says, what's wrong with you? Have you no etiquette? You're sitting in front of a whole table and you're taking pickle with your fingers. Why don't you just take some salad on your plate? Really, she wanted to yell at the daughter-in-law. She couldn't do that. So she yelled at her daughter, and now she killed two birds with one stone. Right? Same thing with Avram and Sarah. God wants to tell Avram, what you're laughing at? I told you it's going to happen. What's so funny? Instead of telling it to Avram about Avram, God tells it to him about Sarah. He can swallow it better. There are many points in their marriage which we can analyze. I think what we have to see in their marriage is, number one, their togetherness in spite of the hardships. And their hardships were huge. I mean, at the end of the day, think about what happens, how it all ends. How does Sarah die? How does Sarah die? Avram goes and takes Yitzchak to the Akedah, and Sarah hears about it and drops dead. And Avram has to come back and bury his wife, which is a tremendous test. You know, we always think about the fact that Avram walks away from the Akedah, from the binding, with Yitzchak alive and well. We forget the fact that when he came back home, he found his wife had died when she heard of the story. So it's not like the story was casualty-free. Avram did, you know, and you'll see this numerous times in Jewish history, where Chazal point out things that we'd like to ignore, like Avram walks away from the burning furnace unscathed, almost, because he loses his brother to that furnace. And he's left with his niece and nephew orphans to deal with. So, in spite of their hardships, you see a tremendous strength in their marriage. If you want to discuss Avram and Sarah being a phenomenal couple, that doesn't mean they didn't have their difficult moments. There cannot be a couple that's married and has communication and lives through life that will not have very, very difficult moments. Doesn't happen. Doesn't exist. So you began with the question, were they like the perfect couple? Yes. You asked, were they happy-go-lucky? Not exactly. Life isn't happy-go-lucky. Being abducted by a pharaoh, being abducted by an Avimelech, not being consulted by your husband before he says, she's my sister the second time. Not so easy. You can't call that happy-go-lucky. So they were an amazing couple that we learn a lot from them. But that doesn't mean things went happy-go-lucky for them. No. And the fact that Sarah comes to Avram and says, Chamasi Alecha, my anger is focused on you, buddy. I'm upset. And you know where I'm upset at? It's like the guy walks into the house and his wife is seething. And she puts this down, she puts that down. You know how it could be. A person says, and stupid fridge, stupid kids, stupid taxes. And the husband like tiptoes past. And then he goes, honey, what you so upset about? And she says, you know, everything I'm upset about, just you. So the average husband thinks, oh, she's had a bad day and she's laying it out on me. But what does Sarah say to Avram? Chamasi alecha. My anger is focused on you. Wait a second, Hagar got you upset, I understand. She spoke not nicely to you, she spoke not nicely about you. She's spreading rumors about you, I understand that. What does Sarah say? It's all about you. It's all your fault. And Sarah wasn't a small woman. Sarah was bigger than Avram. Sarah was a bigger prophetess than Avram. So that's what I began with. You can't take Sarah and make her this little woman who's got a temper. No. Sarah was a giant. If we just discussed how big Avram was, so we're taught in the Torah that Sarah was even bigger. So then, obviously these stories have more depth. We're making it overly simple. But on the simplistic level, yes, Avram and Sarah were an amazing couple. No, things were not happy-go-lucky between them. There were issues, just like every couple has issues, but on a higher level. And the way they dealt with it, the fact that they built through it, that teaches us a lot. Again, we're making it overly simple, which is unfair and inaccurate. But look, we're the beginning of a semester, we're the beginning of a year at Machon Meir. We can't jump to everything in one night. This is the second Thursday night we're having, or third, you know, we're just at the beginning of the year, so you'll learn more. You'll start seeing there's much more to the stories than we just described. This is a very simple overview. There's much, much, much more to be said. We're just starting.